We're studying Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. It's presseth is biazo. It means to use or apply force. Now, when we started looking at Matthew's version of this, Matthew 11, verse 12, so let's go there. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, the way this has to be seen in the Old Testament type is when Israel entered Canaan, they were told to destroy every man, woman, and child in the enemy kingdoms. It's best revealed in Jericho. Jericho was called the city of fragrance, or what's the other word?
Sweet odor.
Sweet smelling, or whatever it is.
Aroma.
Because of all of the palm trees and the different kinds of, it was just a lush, lush place. You remember it had this wall that was 8 feet thick, 20 feet high. And it had skulls that had been of people that had tried to overthrow it in the wall, outside wall, so it surrounded, so there were, it was an eerie, weird sight. And they had, it was the first place they entered in the Promised Land after they left the wilderness. Now, they didn't do anything except blow the trumpet and march around it seven times and sang the 47th Psalm. In effect, that's the meaning of this presseth, or the kingdom of God suffereth violence until now, and the violent take it by force. It's the idea of entering and besieging a city or a temple. And you are the temple of the living God. And there are seven mountains upon which are 10 kings, 10 crowns on each. And that's your Sanhedrin that now is. That's the one that tells you how to behave and what to do, what is correct behavior, everything that you've learned. And it has to be destroyed, so that you can have the mind of Christ, the emptying. What?
Why did it start at John? I mean, this didn't happen before John, this idea of pressing into it, apparently.
Well, it did in type in the Old Testament.
But that is interesting. It does say from the days of John until now.
Right, because now there's no more external fight. It's all internal.
So he's just saying the days of John the Baptist include everything prior to that, probably the prophets or whatever?
No, I mean, everything in the Old Testament is a type, a picture, a parable, a model. Everything in the New Testament is the completion of it. In the Old Testament, the type was besieging a city and literally wiping out every man, woman, and child. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament, the only battle is you. You're the only enemy of God. Walled city is a type of your mind. sweet fragrance, except it's also got the accuser there all the time. And that's what this means. This is the commentator that I, probably the only one that I respect all the time, is Erdman. He was the, not Erdman, what am I trying to say? That's the publisher. Anyway, he was a guy that was the rabbi and had translated and was a scholar, a Jewish scholar, and he became a believer. And he wrote a book called The Temple and Its Services and the Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. Anyway, we can look it up. And this is where he got very specific and said that these verses in Luke and in Matthew about pressing into it, or does the kingdom of God suffer with violence and the violent take it by force, is that it's the type of, you have to see it as a city or a temple you besiege it, and you do it by repentance. That's the only way. And you repent until you've brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah, that makes a lot of... it makes sense, because then if John the Baptist he came preaching repentance, and so that...
Amen.
That fits totally now.
Let's go to Joshua... chapter some or other. Yeah. Chapter 6, Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. It's the sixth book of the Bible.
Judges.
Right after Deuteronomy and before Judges.
Chapter 6, was it?
Chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in because they had surrounded it. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thee, into thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass or surround the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall surround the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpets, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now that has to happen in you, so that you can reach this 7, this rest, so there can finally be peace of mind. And it can only happen by repentance. Let's go to Psalm 47. I think. Yeah, this is the one that we read 7 times. Which feast does this take place on?
I'll go for Yom Kippur.
You have an assignment. You have an assignment. All of you, look it up. Just go to the website and look at the feast memos and see which one is the fall of Jericho, and reread this 7 times. All right. Everybody, it's Psalm 47?
Yeah. Almost.
Almost?
There, in there.
You mean Gary beat you?
Gary beat me.
Handle it.
I was
all
just
right.
Waiting to give a chance. Give me a real shot.
Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. It's a word that can mean terrible, but it can also mean wonderful.
Like terribly good.
He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises unto God, sing praises and praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God, and he is greatly exalted. Now this is the battle that's spoken of. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10.
Does it count if I have a little note here with the psalm that says this is read on Rosh Hashanah?
What?
I have a handwritten note here that says this is read on Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. You win the prize.
I win the prize.
Where are we going?
2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing or high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, once you've seen what repentance can do, then you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, until finally there is no thought that you can have that doesn't stand the test of truth. If anything that you're considering changes with time, place, or circumstance, it's not brought into captivity. And there's no part of your mind that can go against this. Your mind cannot understand. It's finished. Your mind cannot understand you own all things. Your mind cannot understand that every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. The only thing that you can do is repent. And with repentance, that releases the power of God. And that has to happen. And you have to have a readiness to revenge your disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When once the crack in the wall has taken place and you see your thoughts are of the evil one, then you can understand the kingdom of God suffer the violence and the violent take it by force. But the force is that releases the force is repentance. Here, when it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, but only if there is repentance. And you can't do this until you reach the state of poverty. When nothing in the universe fulfills you or gives you sustenance or satisfaction, you're in that state of poverty that has nothing to do with money. It has to do with seeing the vanity and futility of all things, including and especially your mind. Then your obedience is fulfilled, and then the warfare starts. Because you then repent, and that releases the power of God. Without repentance, you're just another Gentile. But the evil one is still on the throne, showing himself that he's God because he judges good and evil, right and wrong. The battle must be enjoined. No more you in the picture. Until what? Until you, this Matthew 18, except you be converted and become as that little child, that darling infant, no longer with self-awareness, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let's go to Jude. We're going to read the whole thing. All 24 chapters. No. Well, I got it right. It's 24 verses, 25 verses. All right. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. But he was also not only the brother of James, he was a brother of Christ, of Jesus. But in his humility, he couldn't say that. He could say he was a brother of James. Jude and James were brothers of Christ, of Jesus. All right. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now that word earnestly has the same idea as the taking it by force. And it's not contending for the faith with other people, I mean, unless they talk to you or ask you. It's contending for the faith in you. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. No, ungodly is acidia. Just means wrong thinking. Still thinking like a Gentile. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you turn the grace of God into lascivious? Because you use it for your own. Try to use the grace of God to get what you want. And it's the prosperity gospel. It's lascivious by its nature. I read a summary in the from Dick Fisher, remember him? He and his wife came here. He's a guy that has Eastern Christian Outreach, and they do the journal. Anyway, they did a piece on Joel Osteen, the last issue. You know, it's just, when you look at it like that, like they did with boom, 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 and the scriptures that counter it mandated, it's like a joke. God wants you to be champion. He wants you to get what you want. Just visualize it. Sounds like a bad Tilton.
Yeah. They turn on the broadcast and they're singing Discovery.
I can't hear you.
They turn on the broadcast on Sunday mornings and you hear them singing or that music playing, Discover the Champion in You.
Okay.
Just kind of a little bit.
I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of Othim, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, set forth for an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, for he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of things which they know not, but which things they know naturally as brute beasts. And those things, they corrupt themselves. Whatever you know by your senses, you know as a brute beast. You understand that? Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how important you think it is. In this context, all cause and effect is your thinking as a brute beast. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you. The feast of charity is a Seder. On something. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. You remember, ungodly doesn't mean, the crap that goes on in the world. Ungodly is what happens in you when you haven't brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You haven't cast down the imaginations and the high places that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You haven't brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you haven't had the readiness to revenge the disobedience. That's what this is about. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own desires or lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of invading, or in order to take advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. One more, 2 Peter. A few pages backwards. Chapter 3. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation, manner of life, and godliness, right thinking, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are come things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked one, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The common theme: repentance, repentance, repentance. Bringing every thought so that your thoughts have been brought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. So your speech is seasoned with salt. So if you're going to speak, you speak from or as the oracle of God. And that oracle is under the mercy seat, on the mercy seat, under the wings. But there's no power of God released without repentance. Can't repent until you've seen the vanity of what you're doing and thinking.
I don't fully understand how I would speak as a oracle of God. I understand what
you only speak when it's from the mercy seat. It's when you've seen from the top down, when you hear from the top down, instead of looking up. These are hard sayings. But until you understand that your mind is the only enemy of God, it is the instead of Christ. It is 666. And if you use your mind, 666 is written on your forehead. Anybody have any response? Take it, big guy.